This is Ann Mish, and you're listening to Watch Us Go Muskegon. And today I have with us Sam Pulis Porter from the Community Neighborhood Services Department. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Ann.
How are you?
Good. I'm happy to be here.
Good. Now, you know, before we start talking about some of the unique programs that our CNS department has, I wanted to fill in on a little bit of background about yourself, because you've been with us for how long?
A little over a year.
Has it been that long already?
Yes,
oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize it was that long. Oh, that's great. So, and then before starting out in CNS, what were you doing before then?
I was doing, I was a loan servicing specialist for Navient, the student loan servicer.
Oh, yeah. So, been there, done that.
Yes.
Yep. Know about that. Yeah.
I still have my account, but not my employment.
Oh, okay. All right. So, and then you have a family, and
I do.
And you live in the city, right?
I do. I live downtown in the historic district, and my husband and my children, and we're very happy.
Yeah.
We're glad to be back, moved back from Indianapolis.
Oh, and a big volunteer, too. She volunteers
for
a lot of stuff.
I do. Yeah. I love to volunteer. Yep. I like to put my kids to work
so
they know the power of volunteering and how it helps the community.
And for those people who made our food truck rally, they were the ones that were doing the face painting. It was her family and herself that were out there, and everybody who was enjoying the face painting and the food and all the delicious stuff we had to choose from that day.
Yeah, it was a great time. They're really the artists, but we had fun. So.
Well, I think Mom had to help a little bit
I'm not as good as them.
No. If you want to look like a clown, I guess I can help you out, but that's about all. If you look at my own makeup, I guess that's what we can tell, right? But you know, today we're here to talk about, because even though, and I have to apologize, first of all, I have like this chest cold going on, and which doesn't make sense because it's a beautiful day, and so it doesn't even, you know, make any rhyme or reason. And so we're going to talk about something else that during a beautiful weather day you think, oh, I don't really need to know about this, but you do. And it's about our furnaces, because as nice as it is right now with an Indian summer that we're experiencing, that's going to be going away soon enough. If anybody who's ever lived in Michigan, as we all know, everybody listening right now knows that
this is the last stretch.
Yep. Winter is coming, and it usually surprises us. As much as we've lived here all our lives, all of a sudden we wake up one day and it's dropped 40 degrees and it's freezing.
Yep, and it's coming.
And you're like tiptoeing over to the furnace to suddenly kick that thing in, because you can't put it off anymore. I don't know about everybody else, but I do. I try to put that off as long as possible. Stretch it out.
I try to get to November 1st every year.
Do you? Do you make it?
Most of the time, if all of my children are in sweaters and have a hat on and slippers and they're wrapped in blankets, then I give in. I'm pretty frugal about the bills. So
I am too. I'm like pretty tough about that. But you know what? My kids walk around in t-shirts and complain how cold it is. And I'm just like... And I have that conversation with them every single year. We talk about this. Yeah. So
put a sweater on and then come
exactly,
talk to me.
Exactly. Yeah. If it's still cold after that, you know, throw another blanket on, all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
But it's going to hit us, and it's going to, you know, and we don't know what kind of winter we're going to have. And we've been watching a lot of other, you know, unfortunate weather situations around us. You know, luckily it's not Michigan, but we've seen it in Florida and the Bahamas and everything. And we have to be prepared.
That's the whole thing.
You know, people are preparing ahead of time, and that's what's saving them. So one of them that we have, again, is our furnace. So Sam has like this really cool program for the listening people right now that could participate, that could really benefit you and could even save your life.
Yep. It's called DT Test and Tune. And it's a program that's run out of our office, Community and Neighborhood Services. And we're located in room 205 in Muskegon City Hall. And what the program is, it's a program that if you turn your furnace on and you feel like it's not performing or it needs repair, it's basically to tune your furnace up or to repair it, to make it efficient and make it safe. And we're really trying to get the word out and encourage people to come in and utilize the program before the cold weather hits.
Yes.
Because last year, really, you know, a couple weeks into November,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have so many people calling, oh, my goodness, my furnace won't turn on. Mm-hmm. I have kids in the house. You know, I'm disabled. I'm elderly. So now is really the time.
Yeah.
Please come in and call. And so it does take a couple weeks for the entire process. So the sooner you get in there, the better you'll be prepared.
You need to be proactive, not reactive.
Yes.
And Sam isn't kidding when, because those people, they don't know where to call. And so our office seems to be one of the offices that get those phone calls at first saying, I know you have a program. There's something. My furnace isn't working. And it's always the sense of urgency on the phone when you're talking to somebody because there is a panic now. Now I need it. And now I'm realizing there's an issue. And as Sam said, this is the time right now, you know, to get that furnace checked out. And I even heard another a person who repairs furnaces recently who was out on social media saying, hey, if you have a moment, go turn on your furnace. Make sure it pops on for you.
Yeah, because a lot of these guys, a lot of the contractors, they get hit so hard with calls, with service calls, mm-hmm. when it does get cold. And so right now they could get you in faster. You know, the turnaround time might be quicker because they don't have the workload that right. they're going to have when it's going
to
be
cold. They don't have so much air conditioning right now. People right. aren't going to be panicked about that and, you know, all those other things. So this is probably their downtime.
So this
downtime.
Really is a great mm-hmm. time.
Right. Yeah, right. So. And so how much does this program cost to people?
It doesn't cost anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
How do you qualify for it?
You qualify by income. We use a chart, an income chart called the area median income.
And it continues on.
Okay. So you already did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, I can go ahead and
all right.
cut out.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Added that part.
Thank you.
All right. And so... I'm sorry, what is the website address?
The city's website is shorelinecity.com and our department, Community and Neighborhood Services. If you click on that, you will find a 2017 income chart on there. Mm-hmm. The 60% category, you have to be at that number or below that number to receive the assistance for free through the Test and Tune program.
Can you give us like an example of what a median income is? Because I honestly don't have a clue.
So for one person, a one-person household, $23,460. Okay. And that's before anything's taken out. So that's gross.
Okay, you're gross. So what yeah. what about a family of four?
Family of four, it is $33,480.
Okay. So now we have the Test and Tune. And so now say the contractors come in and they've looked at it and they say, oh, we have a problem.
Yes.
You know, your furnace is not repairable. Or it's even dangerous. What if there's like a carbon monoxide leak or something?
And then
now what is that family supposed to do?
So that does happen sometimes. We have another program, Priority Home Repair. It's for the same folks that would be eligible for this program. City of Muskegon owners at or below that 60% mark. And Priority Home Repair, it will replace your furnace. So if the furnace is what they call tagged out, basically decommissioned, then we move into our other program, Priority Home Repair.
Okay. And so who decides it's tagged out?
The contractor, whoever the okay. tech is, the HVAC tech that goes to see if it can operate or if it's safe. They make that call.
And these contractors are contractors that are certified, I'm assuming, through the program and are
yes,
authorized to
go out.
Yes,
they're all licensed, certified. Right. They have...
So a family can't just call anybody?
No. Okay. They have to have, you know, current licenses, right. insurance, and right. they have to have different EPA certifications. So.
Now, if we have people listening that are not from the city of Muskegon, do other communities surrounding us have this same program?
Yes, Muskegon County has a DT Test and Tune program, as well as Muskegon Heights, and they go higher on the income scale. They go up to the 80% mark for the area median income.
So you can make even more.
Yes, mm-hmm. you can make more. There is a gentleman by the name of Mike Bow from Muskegon County, and his phone number, contact phone number, is 724-6121.
That's area code
231. Yep. And then for Muskegon.
What's that phone number again?
231-724-6121.
Okay.
And then for Muskegon Heights, Julie Aaron Shine, area code 231-733-8830. That's the lady that runs it for Muskegon Heights.
Okay. All right. That's, again, we're highly encouraging everybody. Please, please, please look at your furnace now. Get that Test and Tune done. You know, don't wait until it's cold and it's an emergency and it's 20 degrees outside.
Absolutely. Do it now.
You know, yeah, we're just begging you to do that. So, this obviously isn't the only thing that you do in your office. I know that. But
we have, in addition to the Test and Tune program and the Priority Home Repair program, which does cover, that doesn't just cover furnace replacement. It could be a hot water heater replacement. Mm-hmm. It could be roof repair. It could be foundation, electrical, plumbing repair. We have a vinyl siding program. If you do not have existing vinyl siding, if you have wood or brick, we can upgrade that to vinyl siding. We also have a home buyer's assistance program where our department gives up to $5,000 for closing costs and points.
That's a great program.
I know. Wow. Towards the purchase of a home in the city. Mm-hmm. And all these programs, they basically have that same income cap like the DTE program. Right. That's really the population that we serve. We also have a rental rehab program, which is for landlords that want to renovate their rental units. And that program, the landlord doesn't have an income cap, but what they do is they have to basically promise to rent to people that are 60% income or below. So we're still serving our target population. Right, right. So
there is like many opportunities. Now, I know that it's federal dollars.
It is.
And I'm assuming that the sky is not the limit with those dollars.
It is not.
No. So is it like a first come, first serve? How is this determined in terms of?
It is first come, first serve in the order of who we serve that is qualified. For DT Test and Tune, I don't believe that there's a dollar amount cap on that, but I know you can only receive assistance every 3 years. Right. So even you could come back every 3 years and keep tuning up your furnace through that program.
And I think DTE actually sponsors.
They do. They sponsor that. And then for our other programs, we have a 10-year service limitation. And for the, for the rental rehab, there is a cap for $15,000 of assistance per unit in a rental.
Okay.
And that's a program where we match dollar for dollar. So if you put up five, we put up five, up to that $15,000 per unit. So
very nice. And why would the city choose to help landlords?
Well, it's really another way to serve that population, that low to moderate income population, because not everybody owns their house. Some people rent. And so that's just another way to reach into the community to make sure that folks have access to safe, affordable housing.
Right. So you mentioned like vinyl siding is one of them. So if I was just interested in changing the color of my siding, would I call you and...
Well, it has to be in disrepair. It has to be deteriorating or falling off. It can't already have been, it can't be vinyl siding now. It has to be some older material that's coming off that is going to become a threat, to safety.
Right.
So
people understand that this is really more, I don't know if you call it an emergency, but more vital. Definitely.
It really is. Yeah. It's more for imminent repairs.
Yes.
It's more for... it's really, all of our programs are really targeted to helping people have safe and affordable housing.
Right. And then what were some of the other ones you have? Well, I know that I'm really excited about the $5,000. So somebody who's interested in purchasing a home in the city of Muskegon, which right now is definitely a seller's market.
Yes.
So I think any kind of money that a buyer can get towards purchasing a home is definitely needed at this time.
And it helps too with this income range. You know, if you have, if it's just you and maybe a child and you don't make a lot of money, it's hard sometimes to squeeze out $5,000 to get into a house. But that's really what you want to do to create a safe place for yourself and your children and to work on your personal wealth and growth.
Right.
I mean, so I love the program.
I love that program.
I love it.
So what are the rules? Because can I get that $5,000, purchase a home, and then 6 months later sell it?
No. So our programs what happens with our programs is when you do receive assistance through the department, a lien goes against your house. So with a home buyer's assistance, whatever the amount of assistance is, it goes as a lien against your home. You have to live there as your primary place of residence for 5 years. Then the lien goes away. But that's really to ensure that people are living long-term places that they're not accessing the assistance and then selling the home and profiting off of it.
Right.
So because we really want, you know, and the same thing with the repairs. The repairs, they put a 5-year lien on the home that depreciates by 20% each year. Mm-hmm. So if you decided to sell it after a couple years, you would owe whatever the balance was left right. on the lien.
This is for people that want to stay long term. This is yes. not for somebody who's looking to flip a house.
Right, right, right. And we really want to discourage that because we're really interested in creating that, the safe and affordable housing, you know, for people that really, I mean, that are going to invest in our community by living here, because right. that's really how we right. do it, is live here and shop here and eat here. And
yes, yes.
So.
And we know that there's a large need for more housing in Muskegon.
There is.
We're seeing downtown with development of yes. other property. More apartments.
I know. I think it's so exciting.
It is very exciting. I know. We have the Terrace Point going on.
Yes.
And then we have the old bank building, High Point Flats.
Yes.
That's being built. And then we also have, do you know, do you have any information on, what is it, Berkshire?
I don't.
Okay.
I
that's,
don't.
That's the one that's going to be for, and I think that's income-based for seniors. That
oh,
one that's being
that's...
built downright on, oh, what's that street? Not. See, now I'm going to lose it there. Same one as the Hackley administration, or right, the library.
Muskegon or Webster
and
Webster, Third.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Webster. That's it. I'm sorry. That's where this head cold is coming in right here. So can't think at all. Okay. But anyway, that's where that's going to be at. And I'm pretty excited about that, too, because and I think there's going to yeah. be like a little bit of shopping going on in there, too. They're going to have things for the residents.
I love it. I'm a downtown
really nice.
Resident. So all this stuff,
yeah.
it's great.
You
My
are
family,
right in the mix of all
I'm
of it.
I'm right in the mix
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
So.
And then we have so much. Watermark is doing some things right now, too.
Yes.
And
in our Midtown Square, we only have 2 of those left.
I know.
So that's
yes.
fantastic.
Out of
I
those 9 houses that the city built.
Yes.
7 are sold.
Yes.
2 are left. Just 2.
My
wow.
favorite one, the red one, hasn't sold yet.
Isn't that something? Oh, my gosh. I've been through all of them. They're absolutely beautiful.
They are. They're
just,
beautiful.
And it's so exciting to see people, families living there now. And, you know, and I think they're working on some more exciting plans. I think we're going to continue seeing changes in that. And,
I think so, too.
And we have other programs. We have Adopt a Block.
Oh, yes. Through our
Adopt a Lot. It's
Adopt
called Adopt a Lot.
Yep.
Yes.
That that's an extension of, we have 14 neighborhood associations
yes.
in Muskegon.
Which you meet with them on a monthly basis.
I
and
do.
You get to take their minutes and
I do.
All the phone calls and organization.
Oh, yeah.
And I know how much work that is.
Yes. But it's work, though. I really like doing that
yeah.
work. And what we do is we coordinate monthly meetings for the board members, the president, secretary, treasurers at City Hall for the neighborhood associations of Muskegon.
Mm-hmm.
Our office also coordinates a grant program, and one tier of that grant program is the Adopt-A-Lot program.
Right.
There are about 300 orphan lots in the city of Muskegon.
What's an orphan lot?
Orphan lot is one of our lots. So uh-huh. the city of Muskegon.
So it's
the
city of Muskegon
babies.
Owned lot
owned,
that nobody
owned,
will adopt.
Yes, that nobody wants.
Uh-huh.
But this year, and this is the first year that we've rolled this program out, 90 of those lots were adopted by neighborhood associations, which is fantastic.
So tell everybody the caveat why they were adopted this year. What was so different?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I just
it was that money program.
Oh, it was
yeah,
money.
Yeah,
I mean, they get paid. There is a stipend.
So the neighborhood associations, if they chose to adopt, because they're always looking. I encourage everybody to get involved in their neighborhood association. They're just doing some awesome things out there. These
they really
are people
are.
Who really care about their neighborhood, who want to do. Things they need more bodies though.
they need bodies
yeah.
and this and really the program to give that monetary incentive for a payment for each lot that's adopted
mm-hmm.
it's basically encouraged neighborhood associations to organize
yes.
and to get those bodies to say
yep.
hey, if you mow this lot and you pick up the trash and you rake these leaves up, we're going to give you $250. And you can adopt every lot in your neighborhood,
yep.
which a couple neighborhoods
have
done.
Some of them
have. That.
Yeah,
yes.
they've actually adopted. So they're actually what they're doing is they're mowing, raking,
yes.
weeding those lots. And the incentive is that the city is paying the neighborhood association the money so that they can use those funds to really do activities.
Do
their other activities, whatever they want to do.
Invest back in their organization,
right.
put people to work in their community. It's really however they want to spend that money.
Because they have been trying to do fundraisers. They're always trying to figure out ways, you know, selling candy, whatever they need to do to try to raise funds, because they've got exciting ideas, but there's nowhere to get any money to do it. So this is a great way for them to be. I went to one neighborhood association meeting and you know what they wanted? They wanted a couple of lawnmowers because they wanted to help the elderly in their neighborhood, and they were just looking for a way to fund a couple of lawnmowers.
And see, this is great. And this is great.
Perfect.
This is a perfect way. And we not only do we give a certain dollar amount, you know, for each parcel, each lot that's adopted, but we also help with things like leaf bags. They can get those through me at no cost to them. They get a garbage tote, so they don't pay for garbage service.
So you're not paying for any of this stuff. You don't have to go out and buy it. Yep.
Just show up and mow it.
And you know what? We even have, I don't know if they've ever shared that, but we have a trailer, a City of Muskegon trailer, community trailer, what has all the rakes, shovels, everything you can think of.
And that is available.
Yep. You call Department of Public Works and you get it on their calendar. You just say, hey, I would like to have it on Tuesday. Guess what? They will drop it off to you.
And I do believe in the beginning, a couple of the neighborhoods utilized that trailer. Mm-hmm. But I think since the program has really gotten rolling, that they figured out their own equipment and their own mowers and things like that. So,
but if you need even help in the beginning getting going,
absolutely,
we can help you out with that. We can give you some of the equipment and that just to help you get on your feet.
Yes, absolutely.
We're really excited. So a third of our lots have been adopted.
About a third.
Which is so exciting.
I know. I'm hoping next year that number will double.
Yes. So. Because the whole idea is instead of us paying a contractor to take care of this, and we know it's an eyesore. We get it. It's a blight, you know, and it's frustrating. And the city is trying to keep up on that themselves. And but instead of, you know, is to help the neighborhoods to help us. So instead of paying a contractor, we're paying the neighborhoods. And instead of the neighborhoods calling to complain because the mower hasn't gotten there to do it, now they have taken that responsibility on, and they're so much happier.
Yes,
and it looks so much better.
It does. It looks so much better, and it's going to look even better when the leaves fall, and because our contractors don't pick up leaves, so every year they sit there till spring. So the lots that are adopted,
hate it.
Those leaves are going to come off. I mean, it puts money in people's pockets, and, you know, you just become engaged in your community, and people are taking, you know, pride and ownership and keeping things looking better. I don't know. I love it.
I know. I'm excited. And, you know, I had Mike Franzik here not that long ago, and he was talking about, so we changed some zoning recently, too, where smaller houses are allowed on lots. So some of these lots that were before unbuildable,
I know,
are not necessarily unbuildable anymore.
I know. I'm hoping that I see some small houses being built.
Oh my gosh, like the chalets downtown.
Yes,
like that. I know it. Are they just,
we
like
have
the
whole tiny house trend happening our country, and
I still love that.
I'm just hoping that somebody puts
one day,
a cute little cottage
I
up
want
somewhere.
One of those. I know, but I want to have it in my backyard. I just want it to be my lady cave. I don't know what you call that. Yeah. And my husband's got that man cave. The Michigan cave. You know, I want my own cave. Yeah. That doesn't have all M's all over it and all that stuff. So, the neighborhoods, and you know what? We need to have the neighborhoods on here.
We should. We really should.
They need to talk about, I mean, some of our really NIMS neighborhood is super active.
Yes, they
Nelson
is, and
oh my gosh,
I'm a little partial because that's my neighborhood.
Yeah,
but they do
super active.
Things. They do so many things. I can't even keep up with them.
They have such a large turnout too for people that come. I'm just amazed.
Yes.
A very very active neighborhood association there. What are some of I know Sheldon
Park
and Oakview.
Yeah, Oakview. They're there. I mean, really, there is 15 neighborhoods in Muskegon, and there is a neighborhood association in 14.
Yeah.
So if anybody's listening and lives in Steele neighborhood.
Oh, we've been trying so
come
hard.
Come see me in room 205 in City Hall.
Yes, yes. We will. I can't even tell you what we would do for somebody who lives in Steele
right now.
That would just come and say, I think that they would give you the world to come if you just were really passionate and said, hey, I want to be the president of the neighborhood association at Steele neighborhood. Oh my gosh.
And it takes this year Angel neighborhood association, she really was trying to get things back on track and get things going. And so in the beginning, you know, you kind of are working yep. the bugs out of the process, yep. but it's all there and you're surrounded by people who have done it. They're doing it successfully yep. and you have all these resources, all these people to talk to mm-hmm. and we really help in any way that we can.
We're not expecting perfection. We're not expecting the world. We're just like, but it would be great if somebody was willing to take the lead and yes. then we would give them all the resources and right. that, because you can get a free dumpster. Like we have dumpster days,
yeah,
what
dumpster
in the fall and in the spring, where get this, the city just like brings this great big dumpster
and you
drops
just, yeah.
it in a lot. And for that, you get a couple of people to man it, and people just come and drop off their
junk.
And
a lot of the neighborhood associations, they do fundraisers at their dumpster days. So they have whatever, bake sales,
yep.
donation thing, whatever, mm-hmm. just to coordinate that, because they know people are going to utilize yep. that and they're going to show up. And that's really the I would say the most important component of the neighborhood associations is just getting people to show up.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Because then guess what? That it's not just one garbage dumpster that
right.
they fill up. They fill up three or four.
Yes.
Like it keeps getting
yes.
like pulled out and another one brought yep. in, another one. I mean, the neighborhood loves it. It also gets rid of that trash. Guess what? Those the old couch doesn't end up in an alley or in a curb
right,
or somewhere
right.
where it's sitting there and those people are long gone and you're like, what am I going to do with this? And then you move in and you've got this trash to deal with. That doesn't have to happen because we have these days. But we do need the neighborhoods to be involved.
Yep.
And so I'm a steel school kid. I can't help it. I know. I got to like drop that, but it is hard for me. Steel neighborhood, though, if you are listening, we need your help.
Yes.
We really do. You need to call Sam.
And it doesn't have to be a large amount of people. Some of our associations only have a few people
yes.
that show up. And
been to them where it's been three of us.
It's three, yeah.
The president, the vice president, me. We're all like, and we still meet on a monthly basis,
yeah.
you know, and it's
very
okay.
Very dedicated and very committed.
And they also still get, that's the other thing, I think the city, is it like $1,500?
It is. Well, that the Adopt-A-Lot is really the tail end of the grant
yep.
program now. So for years, there's been this $1,500 a year NAM grant that
mm-hmm.
can be used towards activities, anything really community related, newsletters, just different things like
that. Well, they have that, what is that thing in August that Denny Powers always does?
Oh, National Night Out.
National
so you
Night
can
Out.
Use it towards National mm. Night Out.
Having a big picnic and everything for all the neighbors, you know,
yes.
just to
and
come
so,
on out.
And so this year, our city manager, Frank, he introduced a program that built on that program,
mm-hmm.
an enhanced grant program.
Yep.
And so you can get, not only can you get the $1,500 like you have been able to for
right.
years, but now you can get upwards of $3,000 for more activities.
Yeah.
And the activities can be anything from volunteering at the farmer's market to painting fire hydrants
mm-hmm.
in your community, which we provide the paint and the brushes for.
Somebody called me yesterday and wanted, you answered that for me. It was
yes.
like, so where do they go? And it was like, Wyatt Eggleton. He has
at
already
DPW,
called me today. Yep.
Yes.
And so he's actually dropping the paint off at this person's
yes.
house. Today, taking it to their house for them to paint the fire hydrants in their neighborhood.
And so you really just need the body.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it, the body. And so,
yep.
But for doing those activities, you know, like I said, upwards to $3,000. And then if you participate in the enhanced grant, then you can move on to, and you can incorporate that, the earned grant, which is the Adopt-A-Lot
yeah.
portion of it. So there's really, I mean, if you really went in on it, you could really make
yeah.
some money for your neighborhood
right.
to do activities, to put back into the community. And, you know, all this fun stuff, it really does get people to show up.
It
if
does.
There's free hot dogs. The
yes.
kids want to go. You
yes.
know, if there's balloons, the kids, there's games.
Yep.
The kids want to go and they drag
yep.
mom and dad and grandma and
yep.
grandpa. And then it gets your neighbors out of the house and meeting each other. And, you know, when you look somebody in the eye, you really become
mm-hmm.
more accountable, like,
sure,
okay, this is my neighbor,
yep.
so I'm going to pick up this trash in my yard
yep.
because I want my neighbor, you know, to really have a place
absolutely
to be proud of. So I want us all to be proud. But
well, and you know, and the other ones I've seen that they do Easter egg hunts. They'll do
yes.
a Halloween kind of activity.
Halloween farm. Like a harvest festival.
Harvest, yep.
And Easter egg hunts. They do National Night Out. Some neighborhoods do Winterfest.
Oh,
so which I'm really interested in going to.
Are you? Because I was thinking just the opposite. I'm I don't like being cold.
I won't be here forever, but I will be until I retire, and so I'm going to make the best out of it.
And then I'll be the snowbird. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to still live in Muskegon all my life, but I'm going to be a snowbird. I don't know. Yeah, that winter thing. I don't know, but... Yeah, there's so just to let you know. So the $1,500 is quote unquote, not exactly, but almost like a has been a given kind of thing. You have to do something and you have to show paperwork for it. But now imagine you can get like, you know, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, you know. And before they were like selling candy bars, literally candy bars, trying to like raise money to do something for a few hundred dollars. What are these neighborhoods?
And now they can raise thousands for showing
easily
up and just, you know,
easily.
I mean, some of the stuff is just as simple as fixing up a corner in your street, a street corner. You know, and weeding it and putting some flowers out there. Just beautification of your neighborhood.
Help us to beautify the neighborhoods. And you know where those areas are. Yes. You know, who better than the people that live there? You were tired of looking at that, you know, to go, hey, well, let's like step up then and let's do this and make some money that we can do something else. You know, I know one neighborhood wants to put up a sign, like a board that they can put activities in there. They want to be able to list activities. They want one of those glass ones that you can, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I thought that was a great idea to put this at their park, and then they could like announce when things were happening.
That is
and that.
A great
and
idea,
so
because
they want to raise money.
People just don't know.
Nope.
I mean, they didn't. Mm-mm. I didn't know everything. You know, I knew the basic information about this, but really, until you're involved in it, you just don't know all these great things that are happening.
And how do you get information out anymore? That's our struggle.
It is.
We struggle with that constantly. How do we do that? Because we used to rely on the newspaper, and we know that we can't rely on that anymore.
And we're running into that too. I'm trying to get things out on Facebook,
so
on Instagram.
Hard. Yes.
You know, of
social
course,
media,
email. I mean, but social media is really the way that we pump information out.
And this radio, you know, right here, this is what we're doing because, I mean, if you have ideas of how we can get information out to people besides snail mail, which is so expensive,
is.
I mean, that's our problem.
It's not practical.
It isn't, because it's just way too expensive. So we hope that even the people that don't have social media, they're talking to all the others that do, that are sharing the information. And if you're on social media and you see something, share it. Please
tell your neighbor.
Share it.
Tell your neighbor.
Yes, we need you to help us. So we appreciate that.
You can always call City Hall too. We get so many phone calls just saying, hey, do you know about this? Do you know about that? And if we do, we share it. And if we don't, we find out how to find out.
Yeah.
So
I don't have all the answers. I always say that, but
yes,
I usually know the people
that do have the answers.
Yep. So Sam, I want to thank you so much for being here today. You are like full of information for all of us. And hey, everybody, a reminder about the tune up on the furnace. We definitely want people to get in there on that. This is the time. Test and tune.
DT, test and tune.
Yep. Call Sam at
231.
Oh, call Sam.
Yes. Call Sam at 231-724-6717.
Wonderful. So everybody make that phone call. Sign up for your test and tune now while the weather is still warm and we can all appreciate it. And until next time.